want to introduce you to one of my friends tonight. Pastor Jeremiah Parker is here to speak to us. He pastors the Welcome Baptist Church in Catawba. He's also bivocational. He works with Brother Matt Creighton. He's the lab technician at Viewmont Urology, and he pastors a church. Pretty big deal. And I met him because our children go to school together. And with him tonight is his wife, Tori. Wave at everyone, Tori. And their children, in oldest to youngest, is Zoe. Wave at everyone, Zoe. And Zaylee, right? Hey, thanks, Zaylee. Didn't even wait for the thank you. And then Zinley is in the car seat next to Mom. Isn't that great? Now, I want to ask if there are other children on the way, because I'm interested just to see what other names we're going to come up with. I'm really looking forward to it, especially if it's a boy. There's just, I'm really looking forward to it. Boys' names with Z. If you have any ideas, make sure you get them to them immediately after the service. Xander is a good one. I some people start that with an X and others with a Z, so there's that too. So anyways, I want you to know something about this man. He is one of the most encouraging men I know, and I really mean that. For well over a year, every Wednesday, and I mean every Wednesday, and every Saturday night or Sunday, this man either calls me or text messages me to let me know that he's praying for me and you. Now, and I mean it. I mean to tell you that if I were to pull out my phone here and there was a display up on the slides, and I were to zip through our text messages, I don't think we'd miss a Wednesday or a Sunday for the last year. This man encourages me, and I've been wanting to hear him preach for well over a year. And they have Sunday evening services as well. And so I said, let me know when you don't have one, and I'd like to have you come and speak to our church and bring the message for the hour. So happens that today was Pastor Appreciation Day at Welcome Baptist Church. So they canceled the evening service, and I put them back to work. And so, Brother Jeremiah, what's that? Yeah, that's right. So, Brother Jeremiah, come and deliver the message from God for us.
Amen. I do appreciate the opportunity. As he said, I did meet him just a little while ago, not known him too long, but he's been an encouragement to me. He's been a help to this a young preacher in my ministry. I've been at Welcome Baptist Church for 3 years. Today was a appreciation / anniversary day. It was in October when I was voted in there 3 years ago. So it's been a blessed opportunity to be there. And I thank the Lord for people such as your pastor that have been encouragement to me when I've tried to be encouragement to him and kind of given me steps and direction certain times, you know, when I've talked to him and things like that. And just the normal conversation throughout the day that we've had has been very good. And I greatly appreciate you, Pastor, and I appreciate the opportunity to be here tonight with you folks. And I do not take it lightly any time I ever get to stand and preach to another pastor's flock. I do the best I can, but I pray the Lord touches and helps and moves tonight as only He can and meet the needs that He can do. If you will, grab your Bibles and turn with me to 2 Samuel tonight, 2 Samuel chapter 9. Probably a very familiar passage of Scripture for many of you. This evening, you've probably heard it preached over and over many times, many different ways, and I won't bring anything new to you tonight. There's nothing new under the sun. Pastor Sturm has thoroughly studied and preached the Word of God to you folks here, I'm sure of, just when I've had conversation with him about what's preaching for Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night services and things like that. So I'm sure he's hit across this maybe multiple times, but 2 Samuel chapter 9 is where we'll be this evening. I just want to read to you a few verses tonight to kind of give you the picture of where we're at. You know the story. It's of David and Mephibosheth. And I pray that this will be a blessing to you. Every time I think of Mephibosheth and how he was lame on his feet, it reminds me of myself spiritually before Jesus Christ. I couldn't get to God. I could not make myself right with him. I was unable to do that. I thought of that today when I was preaching this morning concerning Noah and the flood, how those waters were reserved, but how that ark was reserved as well. Noah had any idea how to build an ark, didn't have any idea how to do it himself, but the Lord God made the way for him, and he saved him and delivered his family from that. And that's what I think of when I think of Mephibosheth and his lameness on his feet. But I want to read to you a few verses. 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1. We'll pick up there. It says, "And David said, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may shew him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, Thy servant is he. And the king said, Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may shew him kindness of the kindness of God, the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, Where is he? And Ziba said to the king, Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth? And he answered, Behold thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan, thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." We'll stop there this evening. You've got some understanding of what's going on and taking place with Mephibosheth and David here. Let us pray before we get into the message tonight. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for this evening. Lord, I thank you for the good welcome of these folks here tonight. Lord, many of them have shaken my hand. Lord, given a good smile just on the way by. Father, what an encouragement that is to somebody that's never been here before. Father, I pray that you continue to let them do that. Lord, the visitors they may have and folks such as that. Lord, good to see this lady wanting to join the church. Father, what a blessing. Growing them spiritually and in numerically, Lord, what a blessing that is. I pray that you continue to use this church, Lord, in this area. Continue to let them be a light, Lord, in this community. Father, I pray that you bless the pastor. Lord, all those Sunday school teachers, deacons, things such as that. God, the choir, would you continue to touch them and use them for your glory. Father, I pray tonight that you forgive me of any sin in my life. Lord, anything I've seen, heard, said, or done, anything unchristlike. Lord, any thought, any action, any attitude. Lord, any covetousness, bitterness, envy, backbiting, gluttony, pride, arrogance. Lord, anything that's in me, Lord, that's not like thee. Lord, I beg you, forgive me tonight. These folks come hungry to hear your word. They came to be fed from your table, Lord, as Mephibosheth fed from the king's table. Lord, they're not going to get it from me. Father, I pray that you touch tonight. I pray that you move, Lord, with your word. I pray that your word would have free course in this place. Lord, I pray that the one that may be lost sitting among us would be born again, Lord, tonight, before it's everlastingly too late. Father, I pray those that are saved, Lord, you'd give them more knowledge, understanding, discernment, and of your word. Father, I pray that you'd increase that tonight, Lord, through what we have tonight to study and to preach about. Lord, I pray that you'd move mightily, Father. Lord, you'd move me out of the way. Lord, would you decrease me, Father, and you increase. Lord, would people see you and everything that's said and done tonight as those beautiful songs we've already sang. Father, we thank you so much. Lord, I pray that you touch in the next few moments. God, give me liberty to preach what you'd have me to preach. Father, I pray that you would continue to touch this crowd. You know the prayer requests, the unspoken. God, the burdens they have on their heart. Lord, there may be one that came in smiling, yet they're dying inside. Father, they're depressed. They're brokenhearted for some reason. God, I pray that you wrap your loving arms of comfort around them tonight and help them as only you can. Lord, I can't do anything for them. Nobody else can. Lord, we can pray for them. But Lord, you're the great physician. You're the healer. God, you're the comforter. You're our shield, our buckler. Lord, you're our strength and our high tower. God, I pray that you meet the needs tonight as only you can and according to your will. Father, I pray that you take your word and apply it to the hearts as you see fit. Lord, we praise you for your word. We praise you for hymn books. Lord, we thank you for the air conditioning and the heat in these churches. Father, how many people had to hide in some basement of a house today with a piece of scripture they ripped out of a page of a Bible to try to hide from people in danger of being persecuted? Oh, God, help us not take for granted what you've done for us already in this country. Continue to bless our leaders. Turn our hearts to you once more. God, send revival our way. May it start in my heart. May it start in the heart of these individuals at Sandy Ridge Baptist Church. Oh, God, do what only you can. In Jesus' name we beg it all. Amen. I wanted to preach to you tonight. I've never been able to be a series type preacher. I've just not been able to do that. I know many pastors are, and they can come up with beautiful outlines and things. I just can't. And the Lord's helping me, and the more I study and the more I hear good preaching and things such as that, the Lord's helping me with that, but I just can't do it. But for some reason, in His mercy, He allowed me to preach a series on this chapter of God's Word, 2 Samuel 9. But I looked at verse 5 and I thought how it's the shortest verse in the entire verses that we have there in chapter 9, but how it's probably the focal point. He sent and fetched him. You think of all the other things that were done, everything else that took place, but if he wasn't willing to act and go send and get Mephibosheth and bring him back, what good would the rest of it have been? If he would not go to him and help him. May we dwell every day upon the gravity of this verse, as we will tonight. I do believe after studying this chapter in 2 Samuel that verse 5 is the focal point of it all. In verse 1, we have the concern or the consideration of the king. You see, David, he just says there in verse 1, David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul?" He had many other things to do. Why would he consider anybody of an enemy household? David and this house of Saul, it said they warred long time in chapter 3 against each other. Saul, you know, tried to pin him to the wall with a javelin. Why would he even consider somebody of that enemy household? Yet that's just how God did with you and me. Considering us, the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever be of a friend of the world is the enemy of God. How many of us, we know we were at one point in time, the enemy of God. Yet he had consideration and concern for you and for me on behalf of his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. I thank the Lord for that. In verse 2, there is the intercessory servant making known the name of one who needs kindness shown unto him. And in verses 3 and 4, we understand that the kindness of God is not based upon our circumstances that we are in. He said there in verse 3 that, yes, he's got a son, but he's lame on his feet. He's this. There's something wrong with him. He's not like you and me. He's a little different than you and me. There's everybody in here is broken. Everybody in here needed the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of us had something wrong. But you see that his kindness is not based on our circumstances. But what would all of this profit, the son of Jonathan, if the king David did not send and fetch him out of the house he was in? It's good to think about things, and it's good for David to be considerate of Mephibosheth's state, but if he would not send and fetch him, what would that have mattered to Mephibosheth? How would that have helped him at all? I thank the Lord for this verse. In verse 5, if verse 5 did not follow verses 1 through 4, David would be as those who see a brother or sister in need and say, "Depart in peace and may your needs be met." All the while having the means to meet the need himself, but not doing it. All the concern, all the intercession, and the impartiality was dependent upon the king's willingness to act. Furthermore, none of the following verses would have come to pass were it not for verse 5 taking place. You read the verses after verse 5, none of that would have taken place would the king not have sent and fetched him out of the state he was in, out of the place he was in. Ain't you glad that Jesus Christ sent and fetched you out of the place you were in? And you came to Sandy Ridge Baptist Church, joined up with this local group of believers, and you worship him and praise him every time that you walk in the doors of this church. I thank him for sending and fetching us from where we were. Believer and unbeliever alike, give earnest attention to the truth in this verse. Were it not for the gracious, merciful Lord God Almighty sending and fetching you and I out of the house of sin, we would have remained satisfied in rebellion against our Maker. Mephibosheth would have never understood the kindness of God had David left him in Lodabar. It's great that he had the consideration. It's great that somebody was praying for him, was interceding for him. It's great that these other things were going on, that then his state was made known, that he was lame on his feet. But he would not have known any of that if somebody didn't show up and fetch him out of the house of Lodabar where he was at. May the God of all comfort be honored and praised and worshipped as we sincerely and reverently look into the magnificent verse of Scripture in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 5. I want to look at three words this evening. Then, sent, and fetched. The Bible tells us the verse begins with the word then, signifying there was something previous. Then, something else was done. Though verse 5 is the focal point, it did not come without verses 1 through 4. Prior to sending and fetching David, David had kindness for the helpless on his heart. Prior to being taken out of Lodabar, a servant of the kind king was proclaiming the depraved circumstances of the one in need of unconditional help and deliverance. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house. Oh, sinful man, prior to the day of your conversion, prior to the day of your birth, prior to the first angelic host being created, the Ancient of Days had kindness to show helpless and fallen mankind. Prior to the glorious moment of salvation, there were others calling out your name, desiring some kindness shown them be bestowed upon you. Ain't you glad that somebody prayed for you when you were out living like you wanted to and doing what you wanted to do? I have a mom and daddy, and they prayed for me, and they prayed for me, and they prayed for me. When there was times on Wednesday night, anybody ever had a request? Pray for my brothers and sisters. Pray for my children. Pray for my children. Somebody was interceding for me, and somebody was interceding for you. Not only was it mothers and fathers, not just sisters and brothers, neither preachers nor teachers, but the Savior Himself hath said, "But I have prayed for thee." Oh, what greater joy to know when Jesus prays, the Father hears Him always. After all this, and unspeakable more, then He sent and fetched men out of the house. Truly His ways are past finding out. His ways are higher than our ways, and I thank Him for it. After all this, then the fullness of time was come, and David sent and fetched Mephibosheth out of the house. Those that David sent left the comfort and contentment of their own homes to go get one that was helpless and could have never made it to the king's table on his own. We're talking about sent now. We had then just a little bit ago, but sent. They left the comforts of their own home to go get this one that could never come to the king's table. Concerning our day, there have been many sent from God for the purpose of bringing the spiritually lame to the Father's house. Ephesians 4 verses 11 and 12 says this, "And He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors, such as Brother Bill Sturm, and any of the other teachers that are in here, and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. These sent from God leave the comfort of home, family, and friends to go to the helpless and needy in order to show the kindness of God to them through the preaching of His Word and bring them out of the house of sin unto the King's table." Praise God, He sent people. Those folks that teach in your Sunday school classes, your pastor that you have here, he takes that time away from his family and his children, and he devotes time to study with God's Word so folks can come in, such as yourselves, and hear the Word of God preached. Praise God, He sent people to go preach the Word of God to people that needed to hear it preached. Not only were there servants sent, such as Jonah to Nineveh, but there is a greater than Jonah that was sent as well. Isaiah speaks of this one sent from God in chapter 61. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, and to proclaim liberty to the captive, and to the opening of prisons to them that are bound." And in Luke 4, Jesus walked in the synagogue in Nazareth, as He did many times, stands up and reads that exact portion of Scripture, then proclaims boldly, "This day is this Scripture fulfilled in your ears." Not only did He send servants, not only did He send preachers and apostles and teachers, but the Lord Jesus Christ was sent Himself. And I thank Him for that. "This day is this Scripture fulfilled in your ears." Jesus Christ being sent to mankind, to helpless man, embodies all the concern, all the intercession, all the impartiality and kindness of God Almighty that was imparted to man on behalf of the sacrifice He made on Calvary to deliver us from our sins. "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." Amen. What manifestation of the kindness of God to have the Son sent in the flesh, to be despised and rejected of men, to be a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, a man who was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, a man numbered with the transgressors, who bore the sins of many, so that by His stripes we could be healed and be made the righteousness of God in Him. He sent His only begotten Son for unworthy men. Praise the Lord. Yet we cannot stop with just being sent. For what profit would it have been to Mephibosheth if David had just sent and not fetched? Amen. Not just sent, but He fetched him. Right. You think about that. If you go to pick up your child from school and you say, "I'm here," and you turn around and leave without him. "You didn't help me, Mom, Dad. You just
left me at school. You're supposed to pick me up and get me in the car and take me home with you. Oh, I came. I was here. But what good would it have been if he just came? But he fetched us. He fetched us. What wonder, what fear, what excitement may have been all throughout Lodabar when the king's servants showed up. You think about that. Those people probably never saw any of the king's servants. And then you see this swarm of people just showing up, all for one helpless man. I thank the Lord for that. You remember back at the pool of Bethesda, how we went over there and all these multitudes of lame people laying by the pool waiting for the moving of the water. Yet how many he went by to get to that one. Wilt thou be made whole? And he was whole from that very day. My goodness, I remember the day the church was full. Where I attended before I started pastoring at Welcome. Many folks, just like tonight, it was a morning service. I heard the Word of God talk to me in Sunday school. But praise God, he came by my way. All those folks in that church, yet he came specifically to me. And he said, you need it. You need what that preacher's talking about. You don't have it. You're not right with me, but I can fix you today. I can make you whole today. I can cleanse you today. What excitement probably came when those servants showed up. But if they just turned and went back home, Mephibosheth would have never made it to the king's table. David sent and fetched him. Glory to God for Jesus being sent. But what everlasting hallelujahs will be shouted because he fetched us out of where we were and brought us unto himself. Oh, happy day when the lover of my soul grasped hold of me and secured me as his forevermore. He is the good shepherd that gives his sheep eternal life. In his fetching us, he grasped a hold of us with a hand no man can pluck us out of. He has loved us with a love that is everlasting, a love that I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature can separate us from. Nothing can keep you from his love. Nothing can keep him from you. And nothing will separate you from him. I thank the Lord for eternal security. If it were up to me, I'd have never got to the table in the first place. But praise God, he came and got me. And he keeps me secure. If I couldn't do it, I sure can't hold on to it. I'd lose it every chance I had. I praise him for it. Oh, what fetching that allows us to say, I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. Might there be one here who is in the helpless state of slavery to sin, as Mephibosheth was in the house of Machir? Have you become aware of the lameness of your own soul and the depravity of your sin nature? Is there a longing, a burning within your heart to be fetched out of the house of sin and despair? I can remember that day when the Lord God, Holy Ghost, came by my way and convicted me. There was something wrong inside. I just couldn't get it settled. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't hear much of what the preacher told about. I didn't hear much about the Sunday school teacher. But he asked the question, do you have a testimony? And that's all I heard. And I kept going back to these professions I made. Time and time again. I went to Tabernacle Christian School. We go to the wilds for camp. And I remember everybody, the Lord was moving in the service. People were getting right with teachers and things like that. And people were going to altars and praying. And surely somebody got saved that day. And I remember crying tears and weeping and coming down and making a profession. But I was basically sorry that I got caught. I was basically sorry for how I treated people. I didn't have that godly sorrow. I had that worldly sorrow that leadeth to death. I didn't have that godly sorrow that leadeth to repentance. And I kept going back to those times that I hit the altar and I prayed, that I shed some tears. Oh, but this is what I did, Lord. This is what I did, Lord. And he just, in my heart, you don't have a testimony. You've never been changed. You're not a new creature in me. You've never been washed in my blood. You're not cleansed. You're still where you're at. You're still dead in trespasses and sins. You're just like you were before you got, when you got up from that altar and you said those prayers and you said those things. You were the same way when you got up as when you went down. Nothing's ever been changed, never been made new. But praise God for May 20th, 2012, when he fetched me out of the house of sin and he saved my wretched soul from sin and delivered me from a devil's hell for all eternity. I thank him so much for that. Is there a longing for that person's heart tonight to be born again? A burning that you need to get it right with God. Be of good cheer. Jesus came to do the will of the Father who sent him. And Luke 19:10 tells us, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Though the Son is not present with us in the flesh, God the Holy Spirit continues to fetch sinners out of the darkness and bring them into his marvelous light. Jesus said to Nicodemus concerning being born of the Spirit, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. As I stand and preach, I cannot tell who the Spirit is or is not pleading with this evening. But know that if he comes by your way, as a gentle breeze is felt and then departs, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. What kindness of God to send and fetch wretched man unto his kingdom. Do not be deceived, believing you can do it on your own. How many people have flattered themselves in the past? I've got a better escape. I've got a better way. These other folks didn't do it right. My way's better. My way's more sure. I'll be able to make it without believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by him." He says it plainly. There is no other way. Do not be deceived tonight believing that. See man's incapability to come to God in the Scripture. Had David not sinned and fetched Mephibosheth, he would have never even known the king desired to show him kindness. Ain't you glad for that? You had no idea that the Lord God wanted to show you kindness until he came by your way. You was enjoying the pleasure of sin for that season, and it would end pretty soon. But you were enjoying it, and you had a good time in the rebellion from the Lord. And I did too, and I was completely enjoying every bit of it. But thank God he came by my way and wanted to show me kindness. Is the Spirit still striving with you? Cry out for mercy tonight and deliverance in sorrow for sin and complete dependence upon the blood of Jesus Christ, trusting only in the finished work of his death, burial, and resurrection. And believe on the Lord Jesus Christ tonight and be saved. Pastor Stern, I've given you what the Lord's put on my heart. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for tonight and all that you've done. Father, I pray that what I've said, Lord, I've gone through it. Father, you placed it on my heart to preach this evening. And I thank you for the folks here with their kind attention as I stuttered and stammered through what you give me to preach. Father, I pray that you put it in their hearts as you see fit. Lord, I pray that you continue to bless this church in a mighty way. And Father, if there's one that does sit among us in the state of Mephibosheth, would they see your kindness as David wanted to show on behalf of Jonathan, like you would on behalf of your son, Jesus Christ. Oh, if they would just come. For you, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh God, would that one come to you today? Father, I don't know who you're dealing with. I don't know what the needs are in this church or each heart. But Lord, you know every bit of it. And you do according to your will and your way. Father, we praise you and I thank you for the opportunity to be here. Lord, I pray that you are exalted and lifted up tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand. The music is playing.